Okay.
One second here. Okay, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Very good. So this past week was Parshas Shemos. So the pasuk says, it was in those days. Moshe grew up. He went out to his brother through his brothers. And he saw their suffering. And he saw a Mitri person hitting an ish ivri of his brothers. So he looked in all directions. And he saw that there was no man. So he hit the Mitri. He killed the Mitri. And he hit him in the sand. So we need to understand here. It seems from the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did his due diligence and looked in all directions to make sure nobody was watching. As the pasuk says, "Vayarki ein ish," he saw that there was no man. The problem is that in the immediately the next pasuk it says that Moshe Rabbeinu confronted two Jewish men that were fighting. And he said to them, "Lama sakareyacha? Why are you hitting? Why are you hitting your fellow man?" So they retorted by saying to him, "Who appointed you as a judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitri?" So obviously someone was watching. So how can the previous pasuk testify that Vayarkianish, that he saw that there was no one watching? Secondly, we need to understand that if Moshe felt that this was the right thing to do would be to kill the Mitzri. So then why did it make a difference whether someone was watching or not? Moshe Rabbeinu, it definitely wouldn't have stopped Moshe Rabbeinu to doing what's right, whether people were watching or not. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu looking around to see if anybody is watching before doing what he believed was the right thing to do? Later on in the parsha, by the burning bush, there are 7 days of deliberation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam regarding Hashem asking Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paroi to release Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is refusing. Finally, the last argument Moshe Rabbeinu gives Hashem is that he says to Hashem, "Shlach nabi atishlach," which means, "Please send my brother Aharon and leave me alone." And as Chazal explained it, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that Aharon HaKohen would be offended, or he'd feel slighted that Aharon was, since he's the older one, that he should have been the leader and not his younger brother Moshe. So Moshe said to Hashem, "Why should I be the leader instead? Why don't you appoint Aharon? Because if I am the leader instead of Aharon, Aharon might be slighted." To which Hashem responded, "You have nothing to worry about. He's coming out to greet you. He will see your greatness and he will be joyous in his heart. So you have nothing to be concerned about. And Rashi brings the Gemara Mesech to Shabbos that because in the zchus and the merit of Aharon being joyous in his heart over Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, he therefore merited to have the Choshen Mishpat al Liboy. He therefore was merited to have the Choshen, which was the adornment that the Kohen Gadol wore. It was zeichet to have that on his heart. So we need to understand, besides the fact that here the pasuk says that it says here on the pasuk that he was joyous in his heart, and therefore he merited to have the chesh mishpat on his heart. There has to be something more. When we're talking about measure for measure, there's got to be something more in common between the act of Aharon of being joyous for his brother and having the Choshen Mishpat on his heart. What is specifically with the Choshen Mishpat that was a reward for Aharon's being joyous for his brother? In Parshas Vayigash, right before Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he announces to all those surrounding him, the pasuk says, "Vayachal Yosef leisapik achlan itzavim alav," that Yosef couldn't restrain himself any longer among all those that were standing over him. Vayikras, he called out, "Hoitziu kol ishmei aloi." Take out all people from on top of me. The pasuk says, no man was standing with them when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. So we need to understand what is it that Yosef was so concerned about that he didn't want anyone to listen. Rashi explains the Pashup Shat that he didn't want his brothers being ashamed of him in front of other people. But I believe there's something very deep over here that Yosef specifically announced, "Hatziu kol ishmei aloi." In Pashas Vayishlach, the Pasuk says, "Vayivasa Yaakov levadoi." Yaakov remained by himself, by a Ovek Ish Imoi, and a man wrestled with him. And Chazal tell us that that man was no other than the Sar Shel Esav, otherwise known as the Satan. And we need to understand why is it that the Sar Shel Esav or the Satan is called Ish, the man. There's a pasuk in Malachi where the Navi Malachi says, "V'sifse koin yishmeru das, v'toyre yivakshu mepiu, ki malach Hashem tzavok es hu." It says, the lips of the koin observe knowledge. Torah should be asked of his mouth, because he is an angel of Hashem. And this is a pasuk that the Navi Malachi is saying about Aharon HaKohen, and he's calling Aharon HaKohen a malach. He's calling him an angel. And we need to understand why is it that out of all titles that he could have chosen for Aharon HaKohen, why is he calling Aharon HaKohen a Malach?
That's where they picked the collar up right there in Princeton.
Chazal also dashed from this pasuk, due to the fact that it says, "V'toyde yivakshem yipiu ki malach Hashem tzavokai." So, ki malach Hashem tzavokai is who? A Torah should be asked of his mouth, because he is an angel of Hashem. Chazal say that we derive from here that one should only learn Torah from someone who's like a malach. If your Rebbe is similar to a malach, to an angel, then you should learn Torah from him. But if not, do not learn Torah from him. This is very difficult to understand. Where do we find a Rebbe that is similar to a malach? And what exactly, or how exactly,